You're listening to Iowa's Jazz Station, 88.3 KCCK. And this is Talking Pictures, our weekly review of movies and film. I'm Hollis Monroe with Denny Lynch and Phil Brown. Some big things happening in movies. Denny, would you like to start us off?
Well, Cedar Rapids had the world premiere and is still showing at the Collins Road Theater, the new science fiction movie Amelia 2.0, written by Rob Merritt, local author. It was staged as a sort of reader's theater version and then a full production at community theater. The premise basically is that this woman is on the verge of death, and they have the opportunity to transfer her brain into a robot body. They call it robot. They never refer to the word android in the film, which is strange. Very nicely shot. Good visual effects. Really well acted, by and large. I was pleased with the casting. I've seen way worse local productions. If there's a weakness, I would say that the ending is not what I would hope for, but in fact, if you heard it on the radio, the mayor apparently gave the ending away, so if you go back and look for that, I won't tell you. I enjoyed seeing it. I like to support local production, so this is a very nice one for Cedar Rapids.
All right.
Well, that's great.
Now, Phil.
Well, I took a look at the long-awaited Dark Tower, the adaptation of Stephen King's magnum opus of many works, directed by Nicolaj Arcel. This is another one of those King works that deals with the special empowered child who has this ability through what they call the shine, to read people's minds, to do powerful things with their brains. And he's sought after by this sort of this other organization that's in another universe, by the Man in Black, who's Matthew McConaughey, who is tapping into using these children's minds who have the shine to try to destroy this Dark Tower, which is this thing at the center of the universe, and it sends out power, and if it gets destroyed, then darkness comes and so on. I don't know why he wants darkness to come, but anyway, that's not clear in there.
He's just the dark man, right?
Yeah, I got to destroy it, man, and get rid of that thing.
It's in the job description.
Yeah, because I got real estate I want to put in there or something. the kid has these powers, he has these dreams, and he draws pictures of the dark man and of all this stuff, and of the gunfighter, who's played by Idris Elba, who does a really nice job in the film, actually, the gunfighter brings in sort of what this thing is all about, sort of this hybrid of Tolkien and Western world type of thing. The Roland Deschain character, who Idris plays, doesn't work very well for me. The film itself didn't work very well for me. The gunfighter and the kid come together to battle the man in black. The original work, no doubt, tapped into a lot of great archetypes that we sort of already know, okay? The Western gunfighter, the Western ethic, the gunfighter, master gunfighter who takes a young youth, under his wings and teaches him how to shoot a gun and all that stuff, which is a standard Western scene. And
also the archetype of the knight on the quest.
Right, exactly. And it borrows from the Arthurian stories and from the, again, the Tolkien stuff. But the film, for me, didn't really have those resonances. It's a very brief film. Maybe it is a prelude to something larger coming down the pike. As we had indicated earlier, we were just talking about that. A TV show is in the works on this. But at times, the movement from scene to scene, very, very perfunctory. Like, well, we got this done. Now we got to move on to this, you know, and this and this. And then all of a sudden, the ending, and I'm like, we're at the ending already? Okay. The guy who was sitting in front of me, who was talking to his friend, saying King is hard to put on the screen, was correct on that one. The film just did not work for me. The characters need development. I usually do not say a film needs to be longer, but this one does. I mean, it doesn't have to be a bunch, but maybe 15, 20 minutes, kind of flesh these characters out a little bit. And Why King is hard to put on the screen, I don't know. I mean, there are very few really good King films out there. The Shining, Kubrick, mm-hmm. of course.
Well, yeah.
I think Hooper's TV, Salem's Lot, yes. is fantastic. I think that Darabont's The Mist isn't bad at all. And, of course, De Palma's Carrie.
Carrie.
And The Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, yes. I'm not a big fan of that.
Oh.
Okay.
I rather like Firestarter, actually.
Okay. Now, Firestarter, too. And in some ways, this film reminded me of Firestarter, the idea of the empowered special child that this organization wants to tap the Shining, because then they strap these kids into these chairs, right? And then they get that power, and they send sort of like a rainbow type of arc, right, through the sky, and it's supposed to destroy the Dark Tower. But all the little kids that they have held at the beginning, it starts off nicely. All the little kids are kind of playing, and all of a sudden they beep, beep, we got to go have our brains used, you know, so they go stick them in a chair. And, of course, they can't do it. But this kid, right, this Jake, right, he's got the goods, all right. And the man in dark says, got to have him. And then they make these leaps back and forth in these weird portals, you know, that are sort of kind of abandoned places, sort of Doctor Strange-like in some cases, too. Yeah. The moving of universes and this weird monster that's going to, if he takes over, right, darkness comes and everything kind of goes to heck.
Well, I was a King fan, but I think that part of it is that so much of the book happens in your mind that it is so hard to bring it to the screen so that it's satisfying to everybody, because it was different for everybody. He brings that an experience in his writing rather than just, you know, giving you just the facts and letting you expound upon them.
Go ahead.
There are at least four King films coming out almost immediately. There's a new TV series called Mr. Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
The Dark Tower series, or eight books, is supposed to become a TV show. I saw it. It's 90 yeah. minutes, and it's like the Cliff Notes version.
Exactly.
This is a preview. This is a sample. This is not the whole story.
Got you.
And
so it's going to take we can't talk about how it ends, but it's going to pick up that direction, I guess.
Or they're going to fill in all the spaces that you kind of thought they skipped over.
Yeah, but to me it was an outline of an outline.
Yeah.
That's about what I wrote down when I came out. And the Cliff Notes is a good idea on that. But, that's a big hunk of work.
Yeah.
All right, we still got a big hunk to get to. Denny.
I saw The Beguiled. Colin Farrell's a Union soldier who gets wounded and ends up at a girls' academy in Virginia. They tend his wounds, and he works there for a little bit, and then he starts flirting with the girls. And these are girls aging from 12 to 50. And he's working his wiles, and things go terribly wrong for him. If you've seen the Clint Eastwood version from 71... I don't think this adds much to it at all. The women are all terrific. It's Nicole Kidman, Kirsten Dunst, Elle Fanning, Una Lawrence. They're really good. And as a team, they work together well. The performances are good. Beautiful shot, beautifully shot at some plantation or sets in Louisiana. And Farrell's pretty good. I don't remember Clint Eastwood's character being as smarmy, but, you know, he was the big
hero.
And Sofia
Coppola, too, right?
Which one?
Sofia Coppola.
She directed this, right. Yes. And it's a pretty-looking film, that's for sure.
For Denny Lynch and Phil Brown, I'm Hollis Monroe on Jazz 88.3 KCCK.